I don't know Justin Bieber. I need you to be very clear that I don't know Justin Bieber.
This is Rory Kramer, and all I need to say about them is they don't know who Justin Bieber is.
No, I know who he is. He means a lot to me.
Doesn't like
but
him.
But I don't know him. His photographer's name is Rory Kramer. Boy,
I would never know
DMs.
That, and man... Oh, really?
Bieber? I go, you okay. Think if I knew Bieber, I wouldn't be skateboarding with Bieber.
You skateboard?
1,000, of course.
Jesus Christ.
Do you skate, do you like longboard or
you just
short?
Keep jumping up Whoa. The list of hot.
You do a kickflip?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You should see me on a skateboard.
What's up?
It's crazy.
I wish I could draw. It's one of the many talents I don't have.
Well, it's too bad you can only skateboard.
But are you guys going to be honest with me?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
You
know, we're not
Shane
just
and
doing
I are
bits.
Very, very vulnerable.
This show is just like a real conversation.
I know, but we're like being filmed. Do you know what I mean? So sure. There's a level of perception.
I don't even see the cameras. So that's what's crazy.
No, Amanda.
Camera.
Amanda, no. I can tell you honestly, Amanda, she is not holding back.
Oh, sometimes ever. I drive home and I go, why did I say that?
No, you don't hold back. It's you I'm trying to get to the core of.
I think I can be a little bit more like careful with my words when the camera's on, but I'm gonna be honest. It's not a lie.
I need to work on being honest.
Really?
Yeah.
You think when the cameras are on, you aren't?
Yes, I think I have a propensity. Amazing word.
What Whoa. The hell? You just bumped up even hotter.
The vocabulary.
Hot list is getting, you're at the top.
I have a propensity to perform.
Perform your.
I've performed my entire life. My entire. Also, yeah. Well, like literally, like if you think about gender, if you think about, like I'm just like, oh, I have a propensity to perform, and I really don't want to do that anymore.
Okay.
So I gotta slow my roll today. I gotta show up honestly.
And with that, let's begin.
Welcome to Smosh Mouth. Hey. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda, and we have a very propensity.
Oh my God.
Joyful, wonderful guest. Their name is Rory Kramer, but do not get it twisted. They are not Justin Bieber's photographer, but if they were, they'd be skateboarding with Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Biebs. Hey, Rory Kramer. Can we say Biebs?
I love him more than anything. You know, on that the Lost Culturistas podcast, and they say, what's the culture that made you say culture was for you?
It's
Justin
Biebs.
Bieber. It's Biebs.
It's Bieber.
Also,
has it been from the beginning?
Oh my God, yeah. I remember where I was.
When Bieber was born.
Yeah, well, I remember I was like an early Kid Raw. That was his like YouTube channel, was Kid Raw. And I found him early. And I was like, I'm obsessed with this kid, his talent, his whatever. And then I would look him up on iTunes all the time, trying to find music that came out. This was so long ago. And then I remember I was in Chile and we were skiing and I went inside to use the computer and I went to like the iTunes top 10 and One Time was charting. And I went, oh my God, that's that kid. And then I like scaffolded my entire, I think I'm Justin Bieber.
So Rory is Justin Bieber. Also, Rory was born in Argentina.
Chile.
Oh, you were born in Argentina.
I'm half and half.
Okay, so I got it half right.
Yeah, that's right.
The other thing about Rory also is Rory is incredible. We love Rory. And Rory also directed Smosh Hospital and also created and directed 2 episodes on Bit City that is coming out, I think, next week.
They're on the felt board.
Oh, my God. Hey.
Boom.
So Selena's incredible and does this felt board, and I didn't even look at it. Watch their episodes on Bit City 6/12 and
7/10.
They're so funny. Both Shane and I are in there, which we will touch on. But also, I just have to dive in a little bit more into your love for Biebs.
Okay.
Is this a type of thing where you would want to meet and hang out? You know how some people don't want to meet?
Sure.
Their heroes?
You don't want to meet your heroes. I'm that way.
Yeah?
Same.
Have you met any heroes?
I could have, but I genuinely, like, if I see them, I'm like, nah. Like, I saw Conan O'Brien at a music festival a year ago. And I remember being like, whoa, like, I love Conan O'Brien. His comedy is so influential for me. Like, I really, like, so much of what I've learned over the years, I try to, like, model after him. But I was like, I don't want to say hi to him. Like, let him be.
Was like, he, like, singing and, you know,
he was just listening? Walking around. Like, he wasn't. Yeah, he was.
That was the time
was
to snatch him up.
He's massive.
Oh, he's the tallest
he's massive.
Man.
He's taller than me.
But I think he's so funny. But I was just like, I don't need to. I love the work that people do.
Yeah.
I don't know you, and I don't want to like mess up what I enjoy about the work. If I meet you and you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Or if you're just having a bad day or whatever. Yeah, I'm just gonna let you be.
Do you know who I met because I was weirdly bartending their party forever ago? This is wild. Meryl Streep.
What?
And and her daughters. I was bartending a party at her son's house, and it was just me.
Gracie Gummo.
Who's that?
Isn't that her daughter?
You just made up a name.
Gracie Gummo.
Is her last name Gummo?
Gummer?
You know what?
Right. Nailed it.
Honestly, you're probably right, but I cared so Meryl Streep, I will say, was incredible.
Really?
The epitome of grace. Of just so wonderful, so welcoming, and funny. She was just
hilarious.
She was so relaxed and she looked impeccable. Oh. So anyways, Biebs.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend looks a lot like Meryl Streep.
What?
Yeah,
are you serious?
I only realized Meryl it Streep. Later. I was watching.
What?
What's that movie with Alec Baldwin? No.
Oh, like it's complicated.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. Complicated. Hey, stop copying me. This is crazy.
Nora Ephron. It's complicated. Oh. And the whole time I was like, oh my God, she looks just like my ex-girlfriend. But I didn't realize it until we haven't been together for years.
Did that make you want to go back with your ex?
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
It was just really. It was really jarring because, like, they look really similar.
You don't want to get into it. You just said that we were supposed to be vulnerable and real.
I'll be vulnerable.
Rory.
She won't listen to this.
Okay, so Rory, you also struggle to be vulnerable and real.
No, I actually kind of do.
Which I actually don't think is true because every time I've hung out with you.
You're like the most, you feel like such an open book.
Yeah.
Like every conversation, we'll be hanging out at lunch in between like shooting insane sketches for Bit City. And we'll sit down for lunch and you'll just be like, so what's like inspiring you guys lately?
Yeah.
Like you'll just throw out like a really deep question.
I wonder if that's a safety blanket.
That's a safety blanket because guess what? They're not really talking about their stuff.
Yeah.
They're like interviewing.
You watch me and Angela try to have a conversation and nothing gets talked about.
I have.
We'll text each other and it'll be, she was texting me the other day.
You guys are playing Pong. It's just like going back and forth.
It's not even Pong. Imagine a tennis court. And instead of facing each other, we're facing away, and behind us are walls that we're hitting the ball into, and it's flying over us and then hitting the other person's ball.
Whoa.
That actually makes, like, what do you guys actually accomplish when you text?
We truly, the other day, I was texting her, and I was like, yeah, dude, I'm kind of mid-crash out. And she goes, damn, fam. And I go, absolutely, for real, how are you doing? She goes, what did she say?
Is it all in caps?
Sometimes, well, actually a lot of the time.
Yeah, I know.
She'll text me sometimes something that's like, she'll say, you're a perfect human. I love you. Never leave. And then she said, enjoy yoga. I said, thank you so much.
Enjoy yoga.
And then she said, I just told you that I thought you were a perfect human and you responded to me with XYZ. And then I said, oh, I need to thaw out. And then I sent her a bunch of vulnerable, like, archival footage and pictures and videos. And I was like, this will have to do for now.
You also, I will say, you take time to process things and respond with the right thing.
That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Because I'm very vulnerable with you. You'll be like, oh, you did great. And I like get deep. And you're like, wow, thank you so much for writing that all out. And here's the thing. It's not with everybody, but with you, I feel very open and safe.
Oh, man. I feel so.
Yeah.
That's such a privilege because I had texted Amanda about, I asked what the biggest difference between being in your 20s and your 30s are.
Yeah.
Because, baby, I'm bumping up.
Honey.
I'm bumping up.
No, you're not.
I am
in your 20s.
I'm in my 20s.
Yeah, you're
But I'm like 20s. The oldest. I feel like the oldest person alive.
That's crazy.
Because I'm 29, just kind of overseeing all the 20-year-olds moving through their...
There are people who are 100, Rory. Okay, so you texted me.
But then, then I'll turn 30 and then I'll be the youngest person to ever live. I'll be the youngest person you guys know.
The youngest 30-year-old, yeah.
Okay, that is so true. When you're 29, you're old. When you're 30, you're young. It's weird.
Wait, can I ask you guys a question about something? And then we're going to come back to this because I...
Yeah.
At what age do you start saying, I'm dating a woman? Like, how old does the person have to be like, I'm dating this woman?
60s. I'm just kidding.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if I came to you and I was like, oh, I'm dating this girl or this person.
Yeah, you are always saying girl. So I feel like when you say woman, it's you've decided that's where you're at. And woman to me, if you said I'm dating a woman, I picture her a little bit older.
Of course, but what's
like
the
50s.
Age?
50s.
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 This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
I think it's a little.
45 and up. Because there are some 41-year-old girls.
But like, imagine if I came to you and I said, I said, Amanda, I'm
dating. What the hell?
Hold on. Yeah, that happens all the time. It has
to. It does. It does. It's crazy.
It's like Shane and Chance. For some reason, my brain cannot. Like, I will interchange your names for some reason.
Rory, you better finish this thought. I'm hanging on by a thread.
People haven't said me and Chance are the same.
Yeah. I came to you. I say, oh, I'm dating this girl. You go, oh, cool. What's she like? Oh, she's 40. She's like if I came to you and I was like, I'm dating this girl who's 40.
Okay.
So does that, but then I'm all like, right. But what if I'm 40 and she's 40?
And you said I'm dating this girl? I'd be like, cool.
I'd be dating this girl, right?
Yeah. If you were dating a woman, to me, that means like she's older, she's mature, she's lived, she's divorced, she broke up with a man.
Interesting. I almost, see, I feel like.
She's already had a life with a man.
I think you could compare it to when like someone's talking about like, oh, I'm dating a boy. Like, I'm dating this boy. Like, you know, I think it's just more about how someone carries themselves.
A boy is different than a girl, though, in my opinion.
And boys they graduate to guy. There's guy,
there's
and
guy,
there's man.
And then
yeah,
there's
you're
man.
Right. There's three levels. There's
a
three evolutions.
A boy is like, you're dating like a boy.
Hit the
yeah,
comments and let us know
for sure.
What you think.
I think, but there's a certain age where do you think it's almost an insult to be called a boy or a girl?
Or a girl. Well, for sure.
Totally,
but then,
right?
But then I say, what if I date someone, she's, let's say she's 34, but she has
cute.
A child. And I'm saying I'm dating this girl.
You know, she's a woman.
Of course.
See,
what's that?
Motherhood.
I feel like at a certain age, though, I'm just like, it's how
you're passing over. You're passing over a certain part of your life.
I don't think there's like a degree or an accomplishment you get that makes you a woman, though.
Can I say a hot take here?
What's the 10? What was that?
10 minutes.
Ten minutes.
For what?
That's your 10.
<We're> don't worry, you're not directing.
Do not worry, you're not directing. You can just relax.
I don't.
We, mommy and daddy, we've got this. This episode of Smosh Mouth is sponsored by Smalls. Shane, how are your kitties doing?
Oh, they're doing great. They've been zipping around the house. They've had so much energy since I've been feeding them Smalls.
That's amazing. Smalls fresh cat food is made from protein-packed recipes using preservative-free, 100% human-grade ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door.
You don't have to tell me. I love Smalls. I use it all the time.
Smalls cat food leads to high protein and improved hydration. That equals strong bones and toned muscles. Cats use protein as their main energy source. More protein means more fuel and sustained energy.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me. I use Smalls. My cats love Smalls.
Forbes ranked Smalls the best overall cat food.
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
I'm a well of information. So stop serving your little carnivore a bowl of processed shortcuts. For a limited time, because you are a Smosh Mouth listener, get 60% off your first order, plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/smoshmouth. One last time, that's 60% off your first order, plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/smoshmouth.
Wow. Well, back to the show.
What were you saying? I couldn't even like really hear you.
Oh, I'm...
That's anyways, meow, meow, meow. See you soon.
Going back, though, I think it's like it's how someone carries themselves. Like it's how like
yes.
someone it's a confidence thing. Like there's no accomplishment. There's no job or family or anything you can have that's like you're now a woman. It's just like truly like I think it's almost a decision.
I think it's a vibe. But what I want to say is a hot take is I don't get upset if you would call me a girl. I don't, that doesn't yeah, bother me. Yeah, I think it's yeah. cute. When obviously an older man says, okay, girls, I'm like, okay, bro.
You could almost argue like the true ultimate evolution of a person is to contain both multitudes.
Well, and that would be,
wow,
right? Because you don't want to lose, because some people like get older and they're like, well, I'm a man, I'm
like
a woman.
A lady?
And they lose the like, the fun of like, no, you still want to keep that part of you.
Yes.
But it's adding the respect. Like,
that's why I think
it's having
cute.
Both, being able yes. to be both.
Like if you said I'm dating a lady, I'd be like,
ooh, a
what's
lady.
Going
she treats in
on?
Her purse?
She comes out, and she comes
yeah,
out of her
she
carriage.
She treats in her purse and she has six white little dogs.
She has her gloves.
She takes it off.
I'm dating a lady.
I'm dating a
she has Werther's in her purse.
I'm not against, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, what about they, thems?
What about it?
I still think, to me,
what do you say?
To me, it's
what
just
you
like.
Say?
To me, it's just like a fucking adult. Like, just someone, like, there
I'm dating
is
an adult.
Dating an adult.
I don't like.
I don't know. I don't know terminology.
I am dating
for it,
an adult
like,
now.
Also,
there's just a, like, a level of just, like, people who I'm like, yeah, you're fucking grown up.
Wait, what do you say, they,
are they them?
Them?
Person.
What do you say?
Well, I've had this conversation with
I'm
many.
I'm dating a person.
Many people I've dated. You can fucking, they can laugh.
No, they are laughing.
She's like holding it in, shaking.
No, she's not.
Alexina's shaking.
No, that's just how
red.
Alexina laughs. It's very cute and sweet.
I'm laughing.
Alexina is a girl and a woman.
For sure.
She's not a lady. Well, she can be a lady.
Lady.
Okay, keep going. Jesus.
So what about a they, them, right? because this is, well, I'm on the cutting edge here, right? With all the names.
You are seriously on the cutting edge. It's crazy.
I'm on the cutting edge of they, them.
So would you say I'm dating someone? I'm dating, a partner?
The person. But here's the thing that always happens. So let's say someone's having a conversation. They're talking about, they're dating a non-binary person. And they go, yeah, well, I'm dating this person. Go, girl, guy. No, like, I'm dating someone. They're a person. They go, okay, and they're non-binary, which is also the most clinical term for something that means kind of.
You want to have some badass terms.
Wait, what do people say when they're dating you? Because you're they, them.
Yes.
Do you consider yourself non-binary?
Furious.
Because you're they, them. Let's discuss this. I'm going into my book. So what do people say? Right?
I've had this conversation many times with people I've dated because this comes up. They go, what do I tell my family? I say, you tell your family I'm your lover.
Okay. That's assuming a lot, Rory.
Well, go ahead and assume, babe.
Okay, you prefer lover, nothing else.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious to go to like a friend's birthday party of like the person you're dating and for them to be like,
my lover's coming in. My mate is coming in.
My mate?
This is my lover. Because partner, I'm sorry. No.
No?
Foul.
Whoa.
It's partner foul. Feels like you're like really buttoned up and you're in a business deal.
It sounds like you negotiate. Well, I guess relationships are a negotiation. That's beautiful and
fair. That aspect exists, but you're talking about like the kind of like fun, raw part of it.
I think this lovers.
The light of my life.
I think light of my life sounds like it's a funeral time. Mm-hmm. When they walk in a room, they lit up the room.
Yeah. Oh, I
lover. Lover is good though, because I do feel like that's a grown ass term.
Lover is really
cute. I don't think that fits for boy or girl, right? Like no. It's like no.
It could be either.
Because you gotta know a lot of shit. You gotta like.
To
be
me,
confident.
Lover is you're like you don't take life too seriously, but you really are super connected to this person, and you guys,
yes,
you can talk about money and then have sex.
There's a responsibility and a respectfulness.
You can talk about your budget and your finances and that debt.
And you can fucking fuck.
And then you can fuck later.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
So, but for real,
fist bump.
They, them,
fist bump.
I would actually like a subtitle that when you cut to us fist bumping, it says they, them. They, them, fist bump.
They, them, fist bump. So they, them have had a really good time on set.
Yeah, but I really hit the comments. I'm sure a lot of they, thems listen to this.
I'm so interested in this, too, because what if someone assumed that you would want partner? Would that be a discussion?
Have this conversation. They go, I'm going to introduce you to my family as my partner. I'm going to say, no, you're not.
Okay, so you're like, no.
I'm already foreign to them. You're going to make me your partner. I wish there was a better term, and I might have to come up with one.
I kind of agree. Like, I wish there was, because this is totally different. But like when I got married, I actually hated using the word husband.
Whoa.
It made me feel like a different type of girl. Cause like my husband's at, it made me feel that way, which is like very sad. Cause that's such a societal thing, because he is my husband. He's my lover. He's my mate. He's my best friend, whatever. But it's like, beautiful. I really didn't like using husband. So I say H, which is his name. Yeah. Oh. But I'm like, what is that connotation with husband? Because I married him. He is my husband. I think it's like, I don't know. We use these terms to describe our people. And I think some people use it in a way that I don't like. So I think that it's tainted it forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is bespoke, right? Person to person. Like,
yeah.
Because we're all so different individually. But I get that.
You say
what
wife.
About you?
I don't actually.
You say Courtney.
Wife does feel weird.
I do want to be clear. When other people use partner, it does. I'm not. I don't have judgments
sure.
about it.
It's just about you.
It's sure. about me specifically.
And I think that's fair. And I think everybody's that way.
Yeah.
To some degree, I think what we see in a society is like weird to put the pressure on. Like this is the turn like that you have.
Yeah.
To use.
Yeah.
It's like, hey. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think it's the same. Where I like it feels so sitcom-y. Like when I say my wife, I feel like I'm fucking like. King of Queens over right. here.
My ball and chain.
My fucking wife.
My ball and chain.
No, it just doesn't. Yeah.
My old lady.
I also think like.
Want to know how to make a marriage last?
Yeah.
Shut up and do whatever she says.
Make your wife
do
happy.
Do what she says. Let her win every
hour.
Let her
win. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, I don't agree. Yeah.
And like, throw up.
I think all that shit
but true.
Is there.
Throw up.
Vomit. I also think I don't know. I'd have to think about it more. It's just a feeling. Like, I'm just like, I just don't, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't mind it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say it. Like it's the legal term.
But here's what's weird.
I sometimes also think like best friend almost feels like it ranks higher.
I agree.
But I'm like, no, that's a higher accomplishment.
That's so beautiful.
I think because a lot of people get married and I don't know if they really enjoy hanging out with their wife.
The amount of husbands who hate their wives, like, are just, well, husbands who are incapable of being best friends with anyone who's not a man. Like,
they're like, God, I got to get out of the house. My wife is driving me crazy.
I actually think it's an institution and it's a label that doesn't have much, like, what does it mean?
So should we bring back the label in a better way? Because here's the deal. Sometimes H will say, oh, my wife, Amanda. First of all, he never calls me Amanda, ever. Like, never calls me by my full name unless he's like upset.
Has he forgotten your name?
Oh my
God. He's like, Sherry.
He doesn't know my name.
Angela?
Oh my God, he literally doesn't know my name. He keeps calling me Nikita. He's like, Nikita. But he never really calls me by my full name. And when he does, I'm like, uh-oh. But sometimes he'll be like, oh, this is my wife, Amanda. And there's some like nice pride about it that I'm like, oh, that.
Also, yeah, you can't say my wife because Borat ruined that.
My wife.
Yeah, you literally can't.
What does he call
it? Is it really attractive when a guy brings up that thing that when he says my wife has like a funny thing?
Do you think it's attractive?
No.
Okay, yeah.
I was just asking you guys.
That's some straight stuff. Also, I hear straight people are pegging now. That's like a whole thing.
They love it.
That's all of them are talking
about. I hear about it. They love it.
We made a joke like 7 years ago. We wrote a sketch where I played a character that wanted to get pegged by a giant vampire.
Wait, wasn't that me?
You later played it in a later sketch.
I was Lady D from Resident Evil, and you wanted to get pegged.
But it's become the joke that's because of that one.
But I don't even think it's a joke. I think like literally... I think they're just curious and interested.
Explore.
Have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time.
Do it. Can I ask a vulnerable question?
Yeah.
After pegging, of course.
Because
you guys took that really well.
It's less extreme, but I actually feel like it's a more hot topic of like, I feel like tons of straight couples use partner.
Oh my God.
Definitely. And like, what?
That's something I didn't see until a couple of years ago. And I don't know.
Do you think they do it so you ask?
Do you think I guess it's like I'm curious and I'm very
disdain.
It's one of those things where I'm like I don't know, but is it straight couples trying to be like, oh, we're an ally, so
yes,
we're doing it to like normalize it,
or
is it also to kind of like, or is it kind of to also some straight couples to be like, we're straight but we're
oh
also,
do you
we're
think,
cool
nah.
Oh, you think,
well, yes,
they're like
yes
they're
yes.
Like we accept they them, we accept everything that's going on, so this is my partner, do you think?
Yeah,
add my two cents to this.
Yes.
Oh, Selena wants to add in the ring.
Girl.
For Royal me, Rumble.
No, for me, I say partner because saying boyfriend is childish.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I don't know another word to say.
And that comes back to like the boy and the girl thing.
Yes,
like saying girlfriend, saying boyfriend.
That's
it's
true.
Like,
because you don't have to be married to like say partner or boyfriend or girlfriend.
That reminds me of how like after Courtney and I got married, I'm like, I know so many couples who aren't married, but I'm like, but they've been together for like 10 to 15 years.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you guys are kind of more like you are.
And then that's the married thing. That's the societal
like
married
they're
thing.
They're as married as, or more married.
It's like you don't need to get married to have a solid relationship.
But I get that. You can be together with someone for 20 years and it's like, well,
I get the
you're
partner
my boyfriend,
then.
But no.
Yes. Well, and that totally makes sense as like an interim to like in between, like, okay, boyfriend feels young. We're not married, so there has to be like something kind of in the middle.
Partner.
And partner makes sense. I just want everybody to feel good.
You know what I've had this thought lately is just that I'm like, oh, the English language is going through like evolution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's really weird for people.
Yeah.
And language is what affects our reality, right? It's why like language creates culture, it creates everything. So
words are spells.
We're realizing our language is so limited in our understanding of things. It's why I wonder if it's why we see so many people just cannot comprehend so many realities of humans, and especially when it comes to gender and stuff, they just cannot comprehend it. It's like, yes, because we don't
they
have,
can't.
We're coming up with the words to describe it.
Yeah.
And you have to trust
it. Especially
that,
like a name change.
Yeah.
Like they don't, I think there are some people who make it like very intense when you mess up a new language. And it's just like, they have been trained on this old language for whatever, 70 years. It takes a second for them to figure it out. So, like, I think there needs to be given grace on both sides of that.
Completely. Well, that is something that with gender in my own experience of it has been, as long as somebody is trying, or if somebody comes to me with like a true curiosity and they mess up, I'm like, oh, I'm here with you for as long as you need to figure this out. If somebody comes to me with any kind of debating tone, or they don't want, the way I shut off completely, like I just—
You can recognize disrespect.
What do you do? Do you, because it's not your job to educate them. So what do you do when that happens?
It's so sad because it's such an opportunity. When somebody comes to me with curiosity, there are so many things I could talk to you guys about gender-wise that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it really is taking the matrix pill. Like you, with like transness, it's literally about, I heard of that recently, that the matrix is actually about transness.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard
that. It is, yeah.
Yeah, because both of the sisters who made it are
trans.
But they realized it after the fact.
That's so fascinating. Interesting.
But the experience of it is very similar to the matrix because you essentially die and respawn. Like that's how it feels. Like it feels like I've died and then reestablished all the terms of my life and had to. And what's interesting about gender versus sexuality, because when I came out as gay, that's a different thing. Because when you come out as gay, you kind of go, I'm gay and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. Gender is so much, in my experience, is so much more vulnerable because you come forward and you're like, okay, so I'm going through all this gender shifting and I do need you to participate. And that is really
right, because when you're gay, you don't need everybody to participate. In fact, you don't really, you don't need their permission or anything.
No.
But when you are going through, now I do have a question.
Yeah.
Did you always feel this way about your gender?
1,000%. I have a video of myself at 1.5. I can send to you guys. I have this video of myself at 1.5 and I'm this like little girl in my mom's best friend's arms and I'm whispering in her ear. And she goes, wait, what are you saying? What are you saying? You're a boy? You're a boy? I'm actually like 1.5, like toddling across the table. Some of my earliest memories.
That is wild.
Yeah.
I remember I took a psychology of gender class in college. Mm. And they talked about studies where they're like, yeah, we were able to pinpoint and see it so early on.
Yes.
Like it's not like there's no cultural influence to it. It's just kind of there from the beginning. It's
For a while, like you just kind of just kept going.
Well, my circumstances were, everybody has a different story, but my circumstances were, I've always been androgynous my entire life. Like I don't know if I'm necessarily full boy. Like I like being in the middle. I feel a bit alien. Like I'm like, I identify with parts of both, but I don't fully identify with one or the other. Mm-hmm. And it kind of changes from day to day, but my experience was I was always really androgynous, always with the boys, always played sports, classic. But in middle school, my dad died and at the same time, people were kind of getting sorted into piles. Like it was like boys over here, girls over here.
Yeah.
And I got sorted into the wrong pile. And to create safety for myself, I learned that status was very helpful in creating a sense of safety at a time when I didn't have safety. So I became really good at being a girl. I was a really good girl.
You showed me a picture of you. I was
awesome.
Because here's what's weird.
I'll send you the picture. You can put it up.
Here's what's crazy about Rory. I mean, I don't know if Rory remembers this, but the first time I met Rory, did you remember me from when I worked as a bartender?
Yeah.
Years ago. And you were like, I was a girl then, so you probably wouldn't. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, I was girl. I was.
You were girl.
Method actor good.
You were the Meryl Streep.
I'm the Meryl Streep of girl.
Wow.
Girl.
And that's saying, I'll talk to her and tell her that
I would say that to her face. Say, you think you're good? Try doing this for 25 years.
That's actually really good.
I'm really good.
This episode of Smosh Mouth is sponsored by Daily Look. Shane, I'm a mom on the move. I've got places to go, people to see.
You are genuinely very busy. I don't know how you balance it all.
I don't either. But the secret is finding shortcuts that make my life easier. Like, I don't have time to go to a store to shop. I barely even have time to shop online. This is so true. That's why I use Daily Look. Daily Look is the number one highest rated premium personal styling service for women. With Daily Look, you get your own dedicated personal stylist to curate a box of clothes based on your body shape, preferences, and lifestyle. My stylist, who is a real person, gives me up to 12 options, and I just click through what I like and don't like, and then a pretty little box arrives on my doorstep.
Sounds like you cracked the code.
I did. Oh, I cracked it. And I look good while doing it. Do you remember my pink sweater? It's like kind of wavy and it has different color pinks.
Yeah.
It is so cute. And I actually never buy sweaters for myself, but the stylist picked them out for me and I wear them all the time and I get so many compliments.
Yeah.
You compliment me.
I do.
I remember.
And a lot of people do. A lot of people complimented that sweater.
Yeah, that's true.
Genuinely.
It's time to get your own personal stylist with Daily Look. Head to dailylook.com to take your style quiz and use code SMOSHMOUTH for 50% off your first order. Once again, that's dailylook.com for 50% off and make sure you use my promo code SMOSHMOUTH so they know that I sent you. One last time, dailylook.com and promo code SMOSHMOUTH.
Back to the show.
Let's do it, buddy. Back to the show.
We can't go back.
No, we're stuck here.
We're stuck here forever.
Your dad died. You got sorted into the wrong pile. And then you were like...
I needed safety.
Yeah.
I didn't have people around me. And grief was so unbelievable. I was 11 when he died. And the grief was like immeasurable. Mm. And I didn't have someone to process it with. So the only thing the adult side of myself knew to do was to seek safety through belonging.
Yeah.
And the way to do that... growing up in the United States was their status.
Yeah.
I've had this incredible sense of homesickness my entire life.
Mm. Mm.
My entire, like just this feeling of homesickness, and only in the last couple of years figuring out gender has it like alleviated.
Wow.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, and this is something I do have questions for you guys about the difference between being in your 20s and your 30s. I think one of the things that surprises me the most about the experience moving through gender identity is the amount of grief that you experience. Mm. Because when I look at my 20s and I look at the mistakes that I made, or it was always really hard for me to connect with people, which is why I was telling you guys at the beginning of this, like, I need to like just let you guys ask me questions and
yeah,
let it be, because I'm so used to it being, I can trick myself into thinking I'm connecting when really what I'm doing is controlling.
Mm-hmm. You're controlling the narrative and controlling the conversation.
To stay safe.
Yeah, of course.
And to move the dials. And mm-hmm. it's not very interesting anymore to do that. But when I look at my 20s, it's really hard sometimes because there were so many moments where I really could have connected with certain people. And I wasn't able to because I didn't know that I was lying.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that I wasn't showing up. And it was this feeling of like, something is missing, something is wrong, and I have no idea what it is. I couldn't figure it out in therapy. I couldn't figure it out with my friends, because a lot of my friends, even to this day, like I have friends who are genderqueer, but like I did not have any trans people in my life. I'm friends with a lot of sensitive men. That's kind of my bag.
Mm.
I have like an army of sensitive men.
Am I?
An army of beebs.
I'm army a sensitive
of,
man.
Of Biebers.
Of Biebs.
Just like guys.
Biebs. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm still kind of dealing with that of just mm-hmm. being like, oh, there are kind of some ghosts from my past where I really hope at some point we can have a conversation about it, because it was impossible. Even relationships. I'm like, why couldn't I?
Oh.
I couldn't. I wasn't, I'm like in my body for the first time now.
I think we underestimate the grieving process. And I don't just mean with your dad, with this grieving process of your whole body shift, identity shift.
Yeah.
You go through all of the stages and it's really scary to be very honest about. And the only way that I can relate in the littlest bit is just postpartum of just this I had my therapist be like, oh, everything you're describing, this like unbelievable anger that surges out, this deep
yes.
sadness, this hopelessness, this weird, excited, like you're on drugs joy, all at the same time, this deep understanding and then this massive confusion.
Yeah.
She's like, oh yeah, you're grieving. That old part of yourself is gone,
yeah.
completely gone. Mm. And so I can't even imagine having it gone inside physically, but also you're at a like another level of it being gone physically too.
Well, I remember when I got top surgery, and because I was, again, beautiful girl. So like I benefited
yeah,
a
you
lot
were.
From
you were
being,
a beautiful girl. You still are, honey.
I was a beautiful girl.
Shane, but, stop denying that
Bieber.
They were a beautiful girl.
As the famous poet Justin Bieber said.
Yes, yes. But I was,
Mr. Biebs.
I benefited a lot from being that way. Like the system for women, I was in the spot of like, I benefit the most from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to give it up, when I got Top Surgery.
But you're living in the Matrix.
Yeah. Yes. But I was like, yeah. the intersection of like actually figuring this out, because I'm kind of on the other side of it now. But at the time when I was really in my head and really sorting through all these feelings, I remember being like, oh yeah, of course I want to get surgery. But that would be like hanging up my jersey.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Literally, because I'm like, oh, I can't, like, it's not a party trick anymore. Like, I can't, like, suddenly just flip a switch and be.
Yeah, you're drawing the line.
I'm changing my literal body so that, like, the invitation to go play on that side and kind of play in that way or perform in that way is completely out the window.
Yeah.
And you'd worked on that role for so long.
I know.
You're crushing it. So.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
You really are Meryl Streep, but beyond Meryl Streep.
Yeah, except when you go to the Arclight and they have, like, the cases of, like, you know, famous costumes from roles. Yeah. Instead of a beautiful dress, it's just my boobs.
Your boobs are just up there.
It's a cast of,
there's a line waiting to see that.
But that's a really interesting part. I mean, there's so many different parts of this experience. It's insane.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you're like swimming upstream against society's pressures and stuff with it. You know,
it is the greatest splash of cold water. Also, your ability to observe other people and see where their pain lives is like suddenly it's like X-ray vision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see it. So you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's what's so funny. I understand why you're a little bit worried to get into your 30s because when you texted me, what's the difference between 20s and 30s? Man, did I send. I sent them I wouldn't say it's a novel, but I really thought about it because I loved that question because I think your 20s are yes. Like, yes, 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 yes. I'm just doing everything. I'm going to try everything. And then your 30s are no. And the no's are really sharp in the beginning. And then they're like a no, thank you. And I feel like your 30s, you don't have the choice. You're faced with all the shadow selves regardless. So like your 20s, it kind of like appears and you're like, what's this about? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll deal with it later. Hmm. And then all that stuff that you want to deal with later, just it comes full surface in your 30s. You have no control over it. Hmm. If you are on the path of wanting to, you know, figure yourself out.
What would be an example of that?
Sorry, I made that shit up just now.
What did I just say?
Actually, no, wait, none of that's real. I have no idea what's going on.
It's when people go, well, yeah, you always do this. And you're like,
oh.
And you get so angry about it. And then like days later and you go, wait, do I always do that? Or was that person just rude? And then you go, oh my God, wait, I always do that.
Yeah.
I always do that. Why did that make me so mad? Why do I always do that? Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? So it's like you go down this journey and to me, it feels like it's right in front of your face every morning of just like, this is who you are. This is who you are. And some of it's great.
Mm. I think that's starting to wash up on shore for me now. Like I, for some reason overnight, I suddenly cannot tolerate doing things I don't want to do.
Yeah. So my
I like
God.
Cannot tolerate, my body will not
you're
let me
ready
do it.
For your 30s.
Yeah.
But it's the thing that not everybody in their 30s or
that's
40s
what I'm
or
saying.
50s stops. Like some people go their whole
life. If you're not like open to that, yeah. I mean, my God, look at our parents or that generation. Like I think maybe that's washing up on shore for them now.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was definitely a bit of maybe it was like a child actor thing of just like always like, oh, what is my career going to be? What is my life going to be? What am I working towards? And then suddenly you're in your 30s and you're like, oh, so this is my life. Like, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no working towards. I mean, there always is working towards, but I'm like, oh, my life and who I am. And that's today. And I doing what I can do today. And I'm enjoying my life today.
Yep.
And
you know, I've been thinking a lot about that. I've built a whole career following the dreams of like a 14-year-old.
Biebs?
Yeah.
No, me. Like a traumatized 14-year-old who's like, you know what's going to save me? Hollywood.
I mean, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh my God.
Rory, you are doing really well.
But that,
well, you're saying regardless of doing well, your career started when you were a kid.
Yes.
And so you're
But also because I'm doing well, I'm being, which is very sweet of you to say, I am being faced with moments of like, oh my God, I thought this would solve everything.
Oh,
and sure.
Baby, oh boy.
It's not.
Sure.
I feel that.
I feel sober to what you're talking about specifically though, about like, I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't care about it. I'm like, oh, I all of the rest of it can go. I just want to be happy and enjoy what I'm doing. Which is why I'm so happy to be here.
But then you're in the present moment, and that's when you feel so happy, but that negative brain seeps in and goes, well, what are you doing? What are you going to do? So to me, it's the battle of when you are present, doing really what you want. That is the big magic. That's the joy. That's when, like, nature's colors are like, oh my God, look at that green plant. Look at that flower. But then I think it's battling that ego, that negative part of your brain that literally is like, this is what you're going to do all day?
Yeah.
And I saw this Instagram thing that I was just like, oh my God. It was like, anyone else have a baby and just want to quit everything and just be with your baby 24/7? It's not realistic, but like, you do.
Yeah.
Because I think the part of that is that you see, they see everything for the first time.
Yeah.
So you get to go, yeah, look at those leaves in the wind. That's cool. Let's try to touch it.
Whoa.
And it's like this, it is very big picture, zoom out.
Have you ever heard the song The Mother by Brandi Carlile?
Of course. I love that song so much. The song makes me cry.
It makes me cry. I'm not even
The Mother.
Up to that.
The Rose, Bette Midler, stop. Mm. But also, Brandi Carlile just did a duet with her wife.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Mother and You by Justin Bieber.
I guess they call her wife. So there's that. Just going back to people calling each other partners.
Oh, wife. Yeah.
It's fine.
I get the partner thing. I wish Americans were more creative with their language. Like, the Italians have words for everything.
What would you say where you're from? Chile, Argentina.
Esposa.
Esposa. Mi esposa.
But my friend and I used to make up words because we felt this way. Like, we used to make up fake Italian. Sorry if this is insensitive to the Italians in the chat, but we used to make up
we
fake.
We hate them, so.
It's... Oh, cool.
Stop saying that. That's what's crazy.
Hey, we hate our Italian
Shut up.
But yeah, we used to make up fake Italian words. So one of the words that I remember we made up was, like, you know, when you're like hooking up with somebody and like you're kind of staring into the ceiling, like you're so not there. You're like, this is just like bad. And I'm like not connected to this. And I'm kind of just like breaking the fourth wall with some like fake audience or whatever.
Oh yeah, of course. Cause the camera's always there. Always. You're like, whoa, the camera of my life.
We used to call that presora.
Presora.
They go, how was it? How was it with them? I go, presora.
Whoa.
That's way better than being like, I wanted to die.
What I just said? Yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier to kind of get past.
Presora. I love that. That
Italians,
sounds very...
The Italians watching this are like, that's a real
word. That's a real word.
And that's what it means. They're like, you nailed it. Actually correct. Yeah, wow.
But yeah, it's really good to hear this, that like, you guys are two very grounded people in your 30s.
We're both in our 30s.
I mean, it's
pretty cool.
A lot of stuff continues. Like, it's not like, oh, I turned 30 and boy, you know, I was able to shrug off all these things. Like, it's still all there. You just start to like, I almost feel like in some ways, like the difficulty on like my ego got cranked up. Like, it's like, all right, we're continuing. It's like, oh, now we're going to hard mode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if I don't,
for sure,
if I don't clock my ego more, it gets harder and harder and harder.
How do you
like
mean?
Things just because I'm like, oh, I'm older. Like I have more experience, and I'm making this mistake, and I'm not doing this. Oh, and I haven't done this. Like, oh wow, I've extra fucked up.
Whoa.
Whereas when you're 25, you're like, well, there's still time.
I got time.
Yeah, well, you push like, everything aside.
Like if I say something stupid and there's a comment that's like, Shane's wrong about
you're
that.
You're like, who cares?
It hits harder now that I'm an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that I'm like 34, because I'm like, man, I had way more time to figure that shit out, and I didn't.
Because your fate, everything is right there in the forefront. All the stuff that you were like,
But it's, I mean, it's also a recognition of like, it's such a short amount of time. And then I'm like, oh, and I'm every day I'm kind of a baby. Like every day you're figuring things out over and over again. Like there is no graduating to where I'm like, I'm wise now. Like, yeah, you gain wisdom and stuff. I want to be wiser, but I'm always going to be naive.
See, but that's what's good. I think a lot of people go, I've figured it all out. Totally. I've decided, I've learned, I'm done. And then they get to our parents' age, especially my mom. I feel like my mom's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't have the best relationship with, you know, so-and-so. And oh, do you think it's because of that? I'm like, yeah, it's because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, what? She'll call me and be like, I did this thing that you'd be so proud. I said, you can come over to my house and no one else will be there. It'll just be me, and I'll just focus my time. And I was like,
whoa.
Good for you.
My heart is racing because that sounds really vulnerable.
It's so vulnerable. I think my mom like fills up space with every, she wants to make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, do you want to spend the weekend at my house? But then 1,000 random people are there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
Mark's going to stop by. He has stuff for me. I don't know how long he'll stay.
He's bringing the ladder he borrowed like 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, good accent. Yeah. He's bringing the ladder he borrowed like 10 years ago. Ladder.
I think in my 20s, I was too much of an adult. I actually don't think I think my 30s might need to be a little looser.
I recognize that. I look back, I was absolutely trying to. That's a very like child actor thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
trying
yeah,
to be an yeah, adult yeah, so yeah. bad. That's why I think a lot of child actors like get so messed up later
yeah.
on because they like were like, I was never a kid. Yeah. So my development is all messed up. Mm. I wanted so badly to be like the wisest, like most mature person when I was a kid. And I look back and I'm just like, God, who the fuck was I? I was so cringy. But I'll like sometimes look back on like early Smosh videos like from 2015 and stuff. And I'm just like, God, I like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And I like look younger, but I feel like I come across older and like more almost curmudgeon-y.
I feel totally the opposite. I feel like my 20s, I was very much like, I was just like fuckboy era, always saying yes. I said yes to, I was just like, everyone can F off. I am going to have the wildest time. I don't know because I normally am a scared person.
Mm. Is that so?
Not now, no. Like, as a kid, I was a scared person, but my mom always was like, no.
Get in the water.
You're scared of that? We're doing that.
Yeah.
You don't like that? We're doing that. Like, and so I think it's trained me to go, well, of course I'm going to do the scary thing. Yeah. I have to, and now it's so ingrained in me that I love doing the scary thing. I think that's why I love doing characters and performing is because it like connects to that part of my brain. But my 20s was 100%.
That's so funny.
I just said
I felt like
yes
I was locked
everything.
Up inside my head until like 28. Like I was like, oh, I don't know what life
what
was
opened
like
you until. Up? You ever done drugs?
No.
No, he never has.
Do you drink or do any...
I drink
weed or anything like that?
Yeah, but it's not like that helps.
But you've never done like a psychedelic?
No.
Okay.
No. I like, not for like
money.
Not wanting, but I never felt safe enough. The problem was I felt so anxious and unsafe all the time that I was never in the zone to be like, oh, I feel safe to do that.
So interesting.
So it kind of didn't allow for it.
Would you ever?
Sure.
Oh my God, I want to be there so bad.
Yeah. The problem, I think a big problem was because of how anxious I was all the time. People were like, oh, Shane's too straight edge. He doesn't want to do that stuff. So I was never in the space.
That,
and then it like kind of
created that. Makes me so sad because I think in our 20s, so much of what we do is we give people social roles to follow.
Yeah.
Because it helps us make sense of things. And so people point at you and they go, well, you're the straight and narrow. Or like,
you're like, I guess that's what I am.
I guess. Yeah. And then we start to believe this idea of what we are when it's like, that's not necessarily who I want to be or who I am.
It was tough though because at the same time, I was extra terrified to take any risks because not only was I just an anxious person, but I also had this career that I had given up high school and the college experience for. So to me, I was
so
like,
high.
I gave up in my head. What I told myself for so long was I gave up my life to pursue this. And if I don't succeed at it, then I gave up my life and I failed at this and I have nothing. And my life has been void.
So much pressure.
I ruined myself with it. And now like I've got like, it was like kind of once I got past and then like, honestly, what freed up some of it was like some of the Smosh experience. I'm like, this is the weirdest. I'm in wacko world where none of this is the normal human experience. So it's like I hopped over from like any sort of normal path into weird world.
I think that's why I mean, I'm grateful to be at Smosh for a lot of reasons, but that's one of the main reasons I'm really grateful for it. I've been having this like reckoning recently where like there's a path that you take, especially with directing and writing and acting and like the kind of traditional industry path. And it's really lonely. And if you are one of the youngest people in the room, it's very alienating.
Yeah.
Sure.
You have to be an adult. Also with directing, it's so bizarre because like I directed General Hospital for a long time.
Which is wild to
me.
Yeah, I was 27 directing General Hospital.
I can't even.
Crazy.
But the reason I bring up my age is because that show is the longest running TV show of all time. So the people who work on this show have been working on it for 35 years.
They're 100 years old.
And they're phenomenal and amazing, but it's a really part of my job. Directing is a performance in a lot of ways too. And I've been changing my relationship to that a lot where I have to go in and convince these people that I love that I'm in charge.
Yes.
That what I say goes. And that is a really intense thing to assume responsibility for at an age like that.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't give you any opportunity to, like, because you are also silly. It doesn't give you any opportunity to, like, be silly, because it'll lower your status. And status was, like, the first thing that you kind of experienced to feel safe. Mm-hmm. So you kept the status forever. I mean, when I first met you, I was like, hello, nice to meet you,
Wait,
Rory.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then we started playing, and I was like, oh, we're silly. You're so curious. You're so interested. You're so, like, free and open. But, like, how you first present yourself is, like, I will not be taken lightly. Like, I'll be taken seriously in a good way.
That's it. No. I'm not surprised that that's the reason.
Yeah.
Because also a huge part of what I do is I'm a visitor almost always.
Mm.
Like, I come to places.
Don't stay too long.
Yeah.
Whether it's a TV show or even larger projects, it's like, that environment is only yours for 5 days, 3 months, however long it is.
How long were you on St. Dennis?
I integrated
Medical, which
there.
Is such a funny show.
I love that show. I was there. I shadowed a couple episodes, so I was like around and I got to know people. And then I did my episode. My episode's only like 2 weeks. Yeah. My shoot's only 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Another instance though of like being a 20-something, and yeah, it's just a very bizarre experience. And I'm really grateful for the directors who are older than me or ahead of me who can give me advice on these things.
So what was it like when you came into Smosh? Because
heaven on earth.
I wouldn't say we're all the same age, but we're kind of...
It's a young place, though.
It is a young place.
Where, like, the people in charge of everything are in their 30s, right? And that's rare in any sort of entertainment. Because you go to, like, studios, and it's like, yeah, a bunch of 60-year-old, 70-year-olds are in charge.
Or even if that, like, they're 30-somethings, later 30s, or in their 40s, and they all have kids who are like, they're like, hey, I got to get out of here at 5 because I got to pick my kids up. They got a basketball game. Where I'm like, oh, we're in different stages of life.
I have like, there's only two people here who have kids.
Yeah.
So but, like, it was really nice to come here.
This time last year, I remember sitting and thinking about what I wanted. And I said, I want to be playing games more. I want to be performing again because my whole background is in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Performing and just like in the mix with comedians again, because I had taken such a break from that scene.
Mm. Yeah.
And I want to be doing like sketch. I was just like, that is what I'm missing right
now.
Whoa.
Wow. That's literally it.
Dan Leahy actually messaged me and was like, hey, would you ever want to do stuff with Smosh? I was like, oh, I've heard of Smosh. Like, and of course I knew you guys from being younger, but I didn't know the new version of Smosh.
Yeah.
And I knew tangentially kind of, because Angela and I have been friends for many years, and I was just like, loved that she was famous now. Like, yeah. I was just got such a kick out of it. I was like, oh my God. Like, because I don't look at people's Instagrams or anything. And every once in a while, I would like go see what she was up to. And I'd be like, she's got like $300,000.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's like, and which is still true for me with you guys, because I also only really know you guys. We've talked about this many times, but in the context of the studio or like when we go out, it's at places that people aren't going to bother you. I haven't been to like the airport with you guys. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't been in an environment where you guys would be getting stopped. So for me, I'm like, it's crazy to me that you guys are famous.
Anytime I've gotten stopped by a TSA agent, it is the sweetest thing ever. They're like, I know I cannot bring out my phone right now.
Bro.
I know it is illegal, but I need a selfie with you now.
And if you have a knife, I will let you get past. Don't worry
about
it.
And let me tell you, I look my worst at the airports and I have
got a
most...
knife. No worries.
It's all good. It's all chill.
All good. Bring in whatever you
it's
want.
It's all chill, Sarah Christ. Get on over there.
Yeah. And I'm like, thanks.
By the way, we got some characters coming from this new Bit City that are
bangers. I think it's my favorite Amanda character.
Wow.
That's what Angela said.
Dude, talk about method. You got so into this character that we would cut and you wouldn't break character.
I wasn't there.
And that's going to be weird when you watch it. You're like, you didn't break from this character.
I wasn't there. All I know is I've been really challenging myself to play against type characters.
Yeah, you
like
really did.
Bridget and Will You Be Mine was like such an against type for me, but also still me.
Yeah.
And Diarrhea, really excellent name.
Yeah.
That was one of the hardest times I've last this year was being in the writer's room and us being like, we want to do a Mariah Carey character, Diarrhea, and someone goes, Diarrhea. Well, I think it was you.
I don't know if I came up with Diarrhea, but someone did. And
it killed us.
You locked into this role.
Yeah.
And it is fascinating. And before we got on set, I look over and you're scrolling through your phone on your notes, and then just you're scrolling past texts of tons of writing.
Oh yes.
And you're like, these are all my notes and writings on this character, and you've come up with a background.
Yes.
And I remember you turn to me and you go, every night she has a Snickers and
Bailey's.
And you go, what? And I go, it's just something that I want to keep in the back of my head.
That's just who she is.
I had so much fun researching this character. And for the whole weekend, I always write like a one sheet for myself on every character. Sure. But for her, it was so easy to come up with lore for her. It was just like, oh, of course. She has, I don't want to give anything away, but the Bailey's and Snickers thing, I was like, oh yeah, she would have, like, someone who's so like intense on camera goes home and just unzips and it all lets out.
So
and
funny.
She pours like a thick glass of Bailey's and has Snickers and she just sits there dead.
Didn't you say that's based on someone you know in real life?
Yes, my sister's old neighbor. My sister's old neighbor in Quincy, Mass. And here's the deal. This woman, I swear to God, she lived by the door. So every time my sister would pull in, she'd go, Allie. Hey, Allie. And Allie would go, oh, I'm actually on the phone. Was never on the phone. It was just like, and she told her, she's like, yeah, I lost all this weight. She goes, how'd you do it? She goes, well, I stopped my nightly snack, Bailey's and Snickers. My sister's like,
I stopped drinking a gallon of alcohol cream every night.
She dropped like 50 pounds. Let me tell you, people on the East Coast.
And you know what? That's what your 30s is all about.
Yeah.
So I recognize, like, what do I need? What do I not?
I gotta drop that thing of Bailey's.
This episode of Smosh Mouth is sponsored by ZocDoc. Wow, Amanda, your teeth are sparkling. Someone went to the dentist.
Oh my God, the fact that you noticed that my teeth look amazing makes me think that we've been spending too much time together.
Never enough time.
Totally. Well, you know, I use ZocDoc to book my dentist appointment.
Oh, and I use ZocDoc to book my dermatologist, my primary care physician. List goes on.
ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone you love. The app makes it so easy to see which doctors are in my network. They have more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states, and appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast.
Typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking.
Wow, you're like really finishing my...
I love ZocDoc. I was pushing off doctor's appointments for so long until I downloaded the app and realized it was so simple, couldn't push them off any longer.
Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/SmoshMouth to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/SmoshMouth. ZocDoc.com/SmoshMouth. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message.
Back to the show.
That was what you were going to finish my sentence. Keep your glasses on.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay, guess we're fighting now.
Yeah. Your teeth actually look awful.
I hate you.
What do you guys think your biggest pattern was in your 20s?
Jesus.
Hard turn.
Damn. Okay. Here we were having fun.
Well, diarrhea.
My worst pattern.
Well, chew on that. I will say that your character as well.
Oh my God.
Is like, yes, yours was like kind of a highlight just in that, like, there was such a production around your character.
I always wanted to play someone so high maintenance that it needs like four people to get her up.
That's what was really, really fun. But your character, I will say, really had me in stitches many, many times.
Chance plays like a Justin Bieber. Like a
Kid Raw era Justin
a
Bieber.
A kid era, like bowl cut Justin Bieber era type of sensation.
Yep.
And I play his dad. And I will say, I was trying really hard to like, kind of like just be in it. And I was very inspired by some of the family vlog dads that I have met. And they're all very similar. And it's just like these dads who are super like amped. They're super like... Yeah, like they love selling their product, which is their kids.
Yes.
And it's so just, I'm like.
You looked so, I was like, oh my God.
The wig was.
It's Shane. I mean, it fit you. Like, I was like, oh my God. Sorry. Listen. Hey, I'm going to say this better.
The fuck?
I'm going to say this better. The wig fit you so well that I was like, this is him. It's this guy. And what I loved so much is you smiled in such an aggressive way.
Yeah.
You weren't like mad, but your smile could like tear flesh.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Also
performing kindness, right? Like they perform nicely.
Yes. Yeah,
but what was so funny about your character is you would always be like in the background of a shot, just 32, beaming yeah. all 32 teeth.
Yes.
You were just
yeah.
lit.
So anyways, this comes out in a week from now, I think.
Yeah. I'm so excited for the Bit Cities.
It was a fever dream.
Did they tell you the callback that we put into the second episode?
That, should we reveal it?
Maybe not.
I don't
maybe
think we can reveal it.
To me.
So yeah. I'm playing another character, and
who's
I
also
do
also a great character.
I do. I play like a middle schooler. Remember the joke?
Yes.
Jason.
Yeah.
So I play a middle schooler named Amy, and man, okay. she just matured really fast.
Yeah.
She got her period when she was 10. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it happened.
And she just, you know, she's just and she just
John Goodman.
Let me just tell you. She is the life of the party.
Hell yeah.
And she there's a little Easter egg
okay.
that she puts out that's connected to your character.
That's very excited. Really yeah, the fun. Next couple episodes of Bit
City the same episode.
They are a wild ride.
But Rory, you pitched these episodes, and I remember being in the writing room on the first pitch that you did, and we were all so jazzed because it, like, to me it was like a nostalgic blanket, your pitches. It was just like, yes, yes. It was like that thing that you really want to do, and it's like, can we do this?
Yeah. It was so much fun.
I don't want to give too much away, but yeah.
I think my pattern was wrapping my fears in excuses and
so oh, okay, giving we're back myself to the 20s, you know, a reason the 20s
have
pattern
to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fears
yeah.
And wrapping your fears.
Yeah, like I would justify reasons why I didn't have to, like I shouldn't. And I would love to come up with yeah. reasons like I can't do this because of this reason or something.
Okay, but now I feel like you're a little bit like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, sure. Why not? So like if I offered you mushrooms.
I just gobble them up.
That would
right
be awful.
We I'm not talking about stuff like that. I think that stuff has changed over the years. I think it's now like, I think it's a lot with like art and like creativity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've talked about this
a ton.
Yeah.
Creativity is a really tough one. Smosh has been nice for breaking me out because like we just yeah. have to make so
yeah.
much stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's helped so yeah. much. But now there's other spheres of like my, when I'm not doing things here, it's still, it's because it's scary.
Yeah.
And it was, you recommended a book that I read, Big Magic, that was really great. And there's a part
best
that talks about perfectionism. And I've talked a lot about perfectionism, but she kind of boiled it down that in a way I needed to hear, which is like, hey, perfectionism is just fear.
Yeah.
Just afraid.
And it is
like,
fear.
Yeah. And that's, I just need to kind of.
And it's the fear of magic. Like it's literally the fear of engaging with magic.
And I think it's also recognizing like in American society, like the capitalist productivity yeah. bullshit that we're in. Is really like it's recognized, like that's been a big thing in my 30s of recognizing how much I was influenced by.
Yeah.
Like seeing the manosphere has reached such a peak now that I'm grateful I'm in my 30s for when this is happening. But it's been around for so long and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize how influenced I was by that. Of like all of my achievements and everything must add up to this like identity.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, and it doesn't mean anything. It's all bullshit.
Well, yeah.
And I'm like, so you lose your ability to do things and create as a more out of body experience.
Yes.
But it's right now for everyone creating and what you do is all about building up into yourself. Well, but that doesn't work.
It's also the generation that we're a part of, like it's invasive. It's in our houses. Capitalism through creativity is constant. Mm-hmm. Like whether it's the desire, I put out like a TikTok or an Instagram. I don't do a lot of content. Like that's not, mm-hmm. It's just not like what I used to before. But then once it became like influencer specific or comedy turned into like
yes.
less about it just being kind of fun because it made your friends laugh and
yes.
something else. I really stopped and I put out a video that's like a behind the scenes of my episode at St. Dennis of just being like, this is how, if you've ever wondered how to direct an episode of TV, this is like how it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after that happened, because the video did well, and immediately people were like, what is the next thing you're going to do? Like, what's the next video you're going to do? Or even my own team was like, this is great. I had like agents reaching out about working together. And I was like, this is so bizarre because the work has always existed, but you guys are seeing this. And this is what you want to push. But this isn't, the reason I did this video is because I wanted to be useful to people who might
yeah.
want to know how this is. Like, when I think about
yep.
the audience, I want to think about what my intention is with their attention because I don't think that happens enough.
Yes.
I mentioned something similar recently, I think on this podcast of like, when we're doing this, I'm like, I want to entertain you.
Yes.
Like, I want this to be funny, but so many right now are just trying to hold your attention.
That's the difference.
And there's such a difference.
You can feel it too, because the intention, that's why I really do love, cool, 60.
You do not need to focus
don't
on
need to
that.
Worry about it.
But you know what? You're just gonna, so it's fine.
I was living in London and I was working on like a live show and I was working with this wonderful director, and after I was doing like a stand-up set and I got off stage and he came up to me and he was like, gonna give me notes. And I love notes because it's fun, right?
Yeah,
you get
yeah.
to tear things apart and make it better. That's part of why I love being here, is that we are always talking about how things can yep. can be better for the audience's experience and what we're trying mm-hmm. to say or talk about. But he said to me, okay, I have notes for you. I've got good and bad. I said, okay. He said, the good is you're good at this and like you can hold the attention of an audience with relative ease, which is great. I said, and I was like, what, 24? I was like, okay, cool.
Done.
And then he was like, but the bad news is you came in here on purpose. You set the bar low so that you would overachieve because you didn't prepare. And that's not your job.
You
your
told
job
me this.
Is to think about why you have the audience's attention and for it to make it worth their time. Because they came here and they deserve to have their time taken seriously.
He's I love like, that so
I know. And he was like, it's a very American problem. And I was like, okay.
It actually is, but though.
Well, yeah, because then when I came back, so that changed my brain chemistry around everything where I was like, no, you're right. Like, I should be appreciating the audience's attention. I'm making this more about me. And he was like, your job as someone on the set list is to show up and show why you're on the set list. Your job is to kill.
I love that.
Changed my life. Changed
yeah,
my life.
Wow.
And then I came back, and when I started doing shows here again, I stopped because all I could see was people doing the same thing.
Constantly.
And I was like, why are you... I was getting upset because I was like, I'm here. You have my attention. Please do something with it.
Use it.
Yeah.
Or at least have intention behind what you're...
I love that so much because I feel that when I'm on stage sometimes... And you show up and some people are really giving it and some are not. And you're like, okay, well, even now as a performer, my time is being wasted mm-hmm. because we have this time. Like
yeah.
we get to like do our dream and our gift and you're half-assing it because you're afraid.
Or,
I think it's
or
afraid.
You're winking at the audience being like, isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh like, my God. I said, I rode a whale. Crazy.
With YouTube, it's really rampant of there's a lot of spectacle, there's a lot of like shoveling tons of money into a
yeah.
thing
mm-hmm.
but what we really care about is thought and like
yes.
intention and honesty. And I can notice now when I'm watching a YouTube video and I'm just like, you're just pumping this out for views, like you know that you're gonna get clicks on this, you're
yeah.
gonna hold people, but I'm like, you don't care about this video.
No.
And I think that's what I care about. And I can tell when someone cares about the video they're making.
Yeah.
And that matters to me more than even if I like the videos for some reason.
Fully.
What is the point? I do understand that you're in your job and sometimes it does get stale or whatever, but I don't know, as an artist, I think it's up to us to say, if this is getting stale, you have to make a shift. You have to challenge yourself because
yes.
I hate doing something that feels robotic to me. And if it starts to feel it, it physically like hurts. I don't want to be around it, but it's why I struggle with so many mediums that are comedy.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like.
Well, what you're describing requires patience. Like what you're describing requires a certain amount of time to
make. Uncomfortableness.
Well, yeah, to be thoughtful takes time. Like
yeah.
we were actually, I was talking to a producer and she was like, well, you know, directors are the new rock stars. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, people aren't going to the movies to see
it's so true.
Yeah, that's
anymore.
True.
They're going to see the new Ryan Coogler movie or the new Yorgos movie,
yep.
the new Greta Gerwig movie. And my theory is that because directing, regardless, it doesn't matter. It takes 2 to 3 years to make a movie.
Yeah.
You have to think about what you're saying because
you have
the
to
investment
plan
of
it.
Time is so
You have
immense.
To kill it.
Or yeah. you look at someone like ContraPoints. Like she takes 18
yeah.
months to make a video. She drops a video, it has 2 million views in the first 24 hours because people are like, I know you took the time and energy to think about what you were going to say and I want to hear what you have to say because you appreciate our attention.
Isn't that what art is? Like,
no, yeah. I mean, that's the type of YouTube I love. Like there's a YouTuber named FD Signifier and there's like Jenny Nicholson and
Anna Howard is really great too.
Yeah, like people who are like, oh, you care. Like Drew Gooden dropped a video about ESPN just breaking it apart for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, dude, holy shit. Like, he goes through the whole history of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. But I'm like, amazing. You care about this.
Yeah.
I was like, you made this not because you could have made something else and gotten way more views, but you care about this. And I understand for people breaking into any industry, I'm like, yeah, you have no choice but to resort to the attention grabbing.
Right.
I think I'm speaking to the people that once you get the attention, once you have your thing set, now it's up to you to like not just keep going with it. Because I look at the people who are like some of the top YouTubers. I'm just like, dude, you're just making this place
watered
worse.
It down.
Like, you know, and I really care about that. And I know that like, we make so many videos. I'm sure there's times where people would say like we do that. I don't know, but like I think we really care about making stuff.
Well,
we care
I think that is evident by the community that Smosh has created. Like the diehard nature of the people who love Smosh. I think it comes from the fact that like you guys are good people. You care about what you're putting. You think about what you say. You care about the things that you guys are making. The culture of the company is really fantastic. And when we're working on things like when we were working on Bit City. We cared more than anything that it was as funny as it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Or same with Smosh Hospital.
That it was as fun as it could also, mainly that, like it was as fun.
Yeah.
Like when you and I were really breaking down Cowboy from Smosh Hospital.
Yeah.
I just loved that moment when it was just you and I and Rachel and you were like, okay, do this again, do the monologue again, but like really think about. Like, really think about your love for, I don't want to spoil it, but, you know, dinosaur. But really think about your love for your partner, you know, like, rather than the jokes. And that, to me, is my favorite thing in the world because I only want to watch art. Watching an artist go, I'm really into this and I want to show you. That's the kind of art that I want to watch. And it could be years and, like, okay, random, Bjork is coming out with, you know, a new album and doing a tour. And I'm like, hell yeah, I will watch that, even though I haven't watched Bjork in years. Huh? Yeah. But it's like, I want to watch someone go, I found this big magic and I want to show you all.
Yeah.
And I think we're missing that because it doesn't always make money.
And it takes time.
People are starved for just, I think, authenticity. We've been oversold so much shit.
Yeah.
That I think... these movies like Sinners and Weapons just feel original in a way that people are just like, oh, I'm getting something a little bit real here. And I feel that with YouTube too.
I feel that with you as a director, I feel that you're like, no, we didn't get that. I love that. I'd rather hear that of like, okay, we're not quite getting that. And you're like, and I'm like, you're right. At this point I'm like, or I'm tired or whatever. And I'm trying to get this line because, you know, we need to move on or whatever. I'm thinking about, and it's like, no, like just focus on the truth of the scene. Like, what is the truth of it? If all else fails, like what, how do you respond truthfully in this moment? I love you as a director because you're so curious about what does this mean? How do we explore with our minds and how are we honest about like what I'm feeling in this moment?
Well, because it comes through in everything that you make, right? Like you can feel when something feels watered down. Like we're human beings are smart, they're intuitive on like a body level.
Right.
And I think that's what bothers me sometimes about if I go to a show or something and I can feel them winking at the audience. I'm like, you're doing this for yourself. You're not like or absurdity for absurdity's sake without commitment.
Oh my God.
I really don't like.
I understand completely.
But I love absurdity when someone is dedicated to the reality of the absurdity.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. I think Tim Robinson is a great example of that. Like he is so committed that it works. But the second I feel somebody feel they're too cool for it or that they are... Sure.
They're like touching the absurdity. Yeah. They're touching the character.
It's not vulnerable.
They're touching the comedy. I think because it's really scary. It's really scary to commit.
Of course.
But we're in a very
critical time, like on the internet. We like love to critique, but we're scared to make. And so it's like, because by making stuff, you run the risk of being cringy.
Of being
which
critiqued.
Is worse than death, apparently, nowadays.
Yeah.
But it is scary, but I don't know. It's also freeing.
It's truly
make something. And you can make something and like, we've had this experience. I've had this experience many times over the past 11 years of like making something that is super successful, gets a ton of views, but I'm like, I feel nothing from that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then making something that nobody watches and you're just like, that was the best experience of all time.
I did a screening last week of a bunch of my work and
it
was really fun. And the first thing I showed was a short I made like a few years ago. I put all these up on YouTube now because I think I'm going to start migrating over to YouTube. I just can't with the other platforms. But the first short was a short I made for like $400. And the whole concept is it's like a tasty video, you know, those top-down videos. But it's like what happens if the camera keeps rolling and like this woman's husband comes home and
I love that.
And we made, I made it for $400 and probably 5 hours with a few friends, and it didn't get festival play. It didn't get whatever, but it is one of my favorite things I've ever made because it's just pure. The whole thing is just like, we just kind of did this because it was a fun idea.
Totally.
To watch it.
And it has that, like, when I watch it, I can see myself in it where I'm like, oh, it has that little magic of, like, I wasn't trying to do it for anything.
Yes.
It's just like this short that was fun.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite thing. That's literally why I do it. When you talk about it and you still get, like, giddy about it. Yeah, it's my favorite.
Damn.
Anyways.
Is conversation over?
I feel like
we have to get out of here.
I'm sorry. I have to go read Reddit stories.
And I have to be in Reddit stories.
Wait, you're in it?
Yeah, I'm going to be in this one.
Oh, fuck.
This one? This one you're about to record? Who's in it?
Yeah, Shane. I'm following you to the couch, brother. Brother.
I can't believe we're going to walk over there.
Would you guys accept me if I just called everyone brother?
Mm-hmm.
I think sure.
Or Chica?
Chica. Well, yeah, Chica, I feel like, don't you do that?
Rory, no. Literally,
Here's the thing. I think you could do whatever, and people would be like, it's not okay, but we can't stop her. There's nothing you can do
smile
about
is
it.
So wide.
Yeah.
You'd go to HR, and they'd just be like, look.
And I go, brother,
they'd be like,
me too.
They'd be like, can you please stop? We can't stop you, but it's up to you.
Brother's you said fine. Please, brother. That sounds fun.
Okay, brother.
Okay, brother.
Rory, this has been incredible.
Yeah.
This has gone, can I be honest? This has gone exactly how I expected it to go.
Wait, really?
Yes. Yeah.
In a good way?
Yes.
Because this is how our lunches have been the past few weeks.
I'm so excited. Do you want to plug anything right now?
Yeah. I put a bunch of my shorts on YouTube. I'm really not online a lot. Like, that's just not my...
Okay, but what is this short call that you just talked about?
I think on YouTube it's just $400 short, but the actual short is called A Holiday Casserole Your Man Will Love.
I love both of those titles.
And it is really fun. And there are other shorts up there too that I really care about.
And then, also check out Bit City. That's coming out. Two episodes directed by Rory, created by Rory. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. We all worked really hard on them and
good stuff.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
All okay. Right.
Hey. Hey.
Am I doing this right? I've never done this
before. Here's your thumbnail.
I literally just shoved my finger in there.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
All right, drop the act.
Yeah, I can't. I'm fucking.
All right, you need to go. Those Bit City episodes are not going to be good.
He's such a hunk.
I know. He's very hunky. And look, he's embarrassed. He didn't like it.
How often?